Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Psalm 48. Hey, my dad can beat up your dad. Oh yeah? My dad has a BB gun, and he'll shoot your dad's eye out. No way. My dad has a Doberman, and my dad's Doberman will bite your dad in the hand so he can't shoot his BB gun. Man, there is nothing as tough out there as your dad, right? I can see it in my girls. They think I'm Bruce Lee, Bruce Willis, and Bruce the Shark, all wrapped into one. They don't worry about a thing when I'm around. And that's exactly how the Israelites felt about God when He fought for them and kept them safe. This is a psalm of the sons of Korah, those who opened and closed the temple doors every morning and evening. Now imagine you're a son of Korah, singing this song as you open the doors to the temple in the morning, swinging them wide as the sun spills across the city towers and spires. And as you look at the city, you can feel that same pride swelling in your chest about your God, your fortress, your high tower. As the pride swells in your heart, the air fills with the music of the song you all sing together as you go about your duties. In verse 1, great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise, in the city of our God, His holy mountain. Not only is God worthy, He is most worthy. There is none worthier. Among the mountains, there is one snow-peaked majestic mountain named Zion, the mountain of God, where the city of peace is nestled safely because God is with her. And like that mountain, God Himself is high and lifted up. He is worthy. He is dependable. Verse 2, beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the heights of Zaphon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. This holy mountain is beautiful and grand. And you get the feeling that the mountain is a picture of God Himself. Beautiful in loftiness, like the heights of Mount Zaphon, which you know as the sacred mountain of the Canaanites, Mount Zion is every bit as beautiful, but more so, because it's where the city of the great king is. The pagans may have a beautiful mountain, but they don't have the city of the great king on it. And by great king, the psalmist means God. Jerusalem was known as the city where God reigned, the city of God. Verse 3, God is in her citadels. He has shown Himself to be her fortress. Just like Tokyo was the city of Godzilla, Mothra and Raiden knew better than to mess with it. And anyone who attacked Jerusalem's walls soon learned what the psalmist says in verse 4. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there, pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like the ships of Tarshish, shattered by an east wind. Well, there's a story here. Isn't there always? The psalmist here is referring to something that happened during the reign of King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Jehoshaphat, trying to follow God, still made a terrible mistake when instead of trusting in God for deliverance, he trusted in alliance with Ahaziah, the king of Israel, a pagan. It didn't go well. The result of trusting pagan alliances over trusting God economically devastated Judah. You see, Jehoshaphat amassed a large sum of gold as protection money and loaded ships at the docks in Tarshish, but an east wind caused a shipwreck, and down went all that gold, and their foolish hopes sunk with it. All too often, we load the wrong ships with our misplaced treasures, only to find misplaced hopes dashed on the rocks when not founded in God. Isn't that always the case, though? Now the sons of Korah proudly sing about how nobody could stand against God. You can't fool Him, and as Jehoshaphat found, you can't outsmart Him. So why bother Why even bother trying when you can simply trust him? Verse 8, as we have heard, so we have seen, in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God, God makes her secure forever. As we have heard the rumors from the past and abroad, so we have seen. You see, we haven't just heard about God's protection. We've seen it with our own eyes. Do you know what he means here? Sometimes people tell us what to think about God, but then you experience God, and nobody needs to tell you anymore. They had heard about the kings being thwarted. They had heard about the shipwrecks, but they'd experienced God's protection personally. They lived in that security, and it felt good. In verse 9, the son of Korah leans into his own experience with God. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. We've heard, we've seen, but now we meditate on your love. Within your temple, we meditate. My friend, you've seen and you've heard, but what's your personal experience? That's what meditation does. It causes us to remember and relive those experiences where God came through for us. It's a way for us to remember. Verse 10, like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Whether in the early morning glow of twilight or the fading indigo light at dusk, the sons of Korah sing here about God's righteousness and the judgments he makes at work in their favor as they faithfully cling to God and trust him alone. And the songs they sing awaken the dawn and put the town of Jerusalem to bed like a lullaby, with the praises of God singing, like your name, your praise reaches to the end of the earth. This God fills the horizon. His name is so big it covers the entire earth. God is bigger than the mountains they sing about, than the sky, than even the kingdoms of this world. And a big God deserves big praise, most worthy of praise. As the whole city is singing, waking, or patting down for bed, the psalmist invites us to experience God's greatness for ourselves. By looking around at the villages that are also secure, the security is not just for Jerusalem, but the trickle-down is felt by the towns and villages who have also placed their hope in Jerusalem in the way that city has placed its hope in God. As you gaze around, the song invites you to take a walk in verse 12. Walk about Zion. Go around her, count her towers. Consider well her ramparts. View her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. The son of Korah is telling us, take a walk. Look at these buildings. See those ramparts, these citadels? They shouldn't be here. The only reason they are is because God is in her. What about you? Maybe you've got things in your life that shouldn't be there, and the only explanation you can give is God. Money in your bank account when it should be empty. Protection from a multi-car pileup. But the list goes on. Only you know. Meditate on his unfailing love, and he'll bring it to remembrance. Take a walk through your own life. Look at your own past and history. See the things that still stand, and bless God. Worship him in the morning as you awake in safety. Praise him at night as you survey his great mercies with you, that you may tell them to the next generation. For this is your song forever, not just for the morning or evening. For this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be your guide even to the end.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.